Good afternoon. This is Croft Woodruff with another edition of Dynamic Health here on CFRO-FM at 102.7 on the FM band. And we're here every Wednesday at this time and looking at issues relative to health, diet and disease, and sometimes the political issues regarding medicine. I noticed that this has been some kind of a week. Last week they're bringing up the issue of AIDS and the progress since this thing became newsworthy and way back in 1981. And interestingly enough, still no signs of a virus that causes AIDS. When they do these AIDS tests, all they really see are antibodies. And they assume that you've been exposed to the AIDS virus and therefore you're going to get AIDS, which to me is kind of topsy-turvy, because when they vaccinate an individual, against, say, measles, mumps, rubella, and then they look for antibodies, and if they see antibodies after the vaccine has been administered, you are presumed to have immunity to the three diseases that you were vaccinated against, namely measles, mumps, and rubella. But if you are HIV positive and you are assumed then to have been exposed to something that causes AIDS, you are going to get AIDS. Now, figure that one out. I'd like somebody to try and rationalize that contradiction. I just can't see how it can be done. And the fact is, it's obvious that we're looking at something else. For the very simple reason, where is the AIDS vaccine they've been talking about? They haven't got one. To make a vaccine, you have to have a virus. And if you haven't got a virus, you're not going to have a vaccine. And obviously, there isn't one, because I haven't heard of anybody winning a Nobel Prize for having developed one. In fact, there have been experimental vaccines out there claiming to be an anti-AIDS vaccine, except for one thing. The trials don't seem to get anywhere, and we never hear about it. Maybe it's because the vaccines in themselves are so toxic that they're either killing people off or they have no effect whatsoever. And it is a fact, of course, that 50% of the people who do get a vaccine for one disease or another, whether it's measles, mumps, or rubella, or whether or not it is diphtheria, whooping cough, or tetanus, 50% of those people don't show any antibodies, which means they don't have any immunity against the particular diseases that they're being vaccinated for. So this technology, if you will, or this science, is not all that accurate as medical science goes. It just isn't. It doesn't follow. And, of course, if you'd like to take issue with this, I'd love to hear from you. And that's why we have open line at this time. It's 604-684-7561. And I do want to hear from you if you are certainly an AIDS activist. We'd certainly like to hear from you on this issue. And I've got a few things that I'd like to deal with on this issue. People who have tested HIV positive, having taken one test, they're assumed to that they are going to get AIDS, and they are immediately put on these what are known as anti-neoplastin drugs. These are drugs that destroy the cell nucleus. And some of these documentaries I've seen on this, particularly a write-up that was in Harper's Magazine this March of 2006, this year, absolutely frightening. A woman, they never did a follow-up test on this woman. She was pregnant, but she tested HIV positive, and they immediately put her on this toxic drug, and the long and the short of it, they killed her. The baby happened to be born shortly before she died. And, of course, if you're HIV positive and pregnant, the chances are the baby will be as well. So they want to dose the baby with these drugs. And who knows? If the baby was perfectly healthy, why would you bother? The mother was perfectly healthy, but that didn't stop them. And there is a lawsuit in this one instance that I'm reading about in this item from Harper's Magazine, March 2006. And, by the way, if you can get that, I'm sure, through the library. The title of the piece is Out of Control, AIDS and the Corruption of Medical Science. And when you read this, you get a good idea of how corrupt medical science really is. But let's go to the lines. We have line one. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi there, wonderful. Basically, I was just thinking about when it comes to AIDS and all these, when you're talking about medical science, people take for granted the amount of toxins that the body's consuming every day and how they all become practically an obstacle to make our immune system not be able to work properly. On top of that, you have to take into consideration all the organic matters that are out there that are compatible with the bloodstream that can actually be administered into the blood. Now, I have a list of different things. I mean, they're acids, natural acids such as ginger, garlic, onion juice, and a lot of other seeds and herbs that actually change the pH level of the blood in order so that the virus doesn't find it a home.
That's right.
Basically, if you think about it, the problem is not the virus. The problem is that the system has programmed everybody into, constantly consuming these foods that have all these chemicals that begin to change the pH level of the body so that we deteriorate at a faster rate, meaning that our blood is basically an open home for all these viruses and practically anything that wants to take over the blood. It's not a problem about the virus. I think it's a problem of what we're administering into our bodies every day and how the pH level of our blood is running and how much of a home we are to these viruses.
Well, I think you'll find that there are viruses all over the place. For the last several days that I've been coming in from where I live in Richmond to Vancouver,
yes.
What do I see on the road but a dead baby raccoon?
Yes.
And up till yesterday, and it was about 5 days ago that I first saw it, was still there. Nobody was picking it up.
Yeah.
So every car that runs over further pounds it into the pavement, and and the proteins will desiccate. And viruses are proteins.
And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with viruses and organic matters that are decomposing, but we shouldn't be decomposing to the extent where we're actually a home for these viruses. And once again, I bring back the issue. I mean, the medical business, like you say, is quite corrupt because they develop these serums that are going to turn back around in the body and make the body work against itself in the future. And we're not compatible with our own organic environment, which is creating a great problem in today's world. People are, having to go to doctors, get assessed for whatever they have, and then the doctor is going to look at the book and try to find the prescription. But the doctor doesn't even know what the person's actually feeling or what the symptoms really are all about. And he doesn't even know how the blood actually works. I believe that these years and years of medicine research and studies that they take and how they go to school for such a long time, and then they come out with, such a small knowledge as to take a symptom and assess it with a prescription. That's ridiculous. You can't constantly do that with everything.
Well, wouldn't you agree that the problem is that our whole medical paradigm or pattern is based on patentable drugs?
Of course.
You have a symptom or create a symptom and then you have a drug for it.
Yeah.
Or if you have a drug, you might want to find some diseases for it.
Of course.
And so we have this sort of
the system that works against itself in a way.
Yes, and of course, they're looking at depression in children, so they want to give them these antidepressants. And of course, we've already seen what happened in places like Columbine and other places where school children
have been exposed to these type of drugs.
That's right,
that have
and
been developed.
They go on and some youngsters go on a murderous rage, bring rifles into the school,
definitely,
and shoot the place up. And who's at fault?
Because the entire chemistry of the human body is not compatible with these drugs. I think that's the problem. It's not allowing us to act, to our compatibility with the organic matters that are out there. Once again, I turn back to the issue of finding medicine. I mean, there is a cure for AIDS, and we have it. We've had the knowledge all along to have a cure for AIDS and cancer and all these other things. The problem is that even when we drink pop and we get these phosphates in the pop, when we accumulate a certain amount of these toxins and chemicals, they react with themselves, and they also react with sunlight, causing skin cancer and all these other issues, but people are not aware of this.
Well, what about the sunscreens that people are using that
of
can
course.
Aggravate? And of course, in the process, they're taking taking off the own natural oil off their skin,
yes,
which is essential for synthesizing vitamin D from the sun's ultraviolet B rays.
Of course.
And here is another thing that people don't realize. They're gulping down these cans of sugared pop.
Yes.
For every teaspoon of sugar consumed, 50% of the neutrophil phagocytes, which represent about 65% of your white cells, immune system in the bloodstream, are paralyzed for a 5-hour period.
And not considering the fact that when it comes to processing that, we also store about, I'd say, 80% of it, because it's all refined matter. It's
goes into fat.
Refined for you.
It turned into fat. But the point is this, that you have 10-ounce can of pop, 8 teaspoons of sugar in there, 8 times 5 is 40, 40 hours of impaired immune function. And kids are drinking this stuff, and adults, every day.
And
is it any wonder by the time the summer is out and October's roaring in, so is the flu?
Yes, of course. And then the worst part of it is that they're focusing on children more and more nowadays with all these new colored, flavored candies and all these different types of elements that are out there, you know, to entertain kids with, you know, gummy chewables.
Mm-hmm.
And none of this stuff can be processed properly by the human body. Therefore, it's not compatibly organic. It's not organically compatible.
And one of the most common colorings is yellow number 5, and you'll find it in everything, in baked goods and the whole lot when you go into the supermarket. Yellow number 5, also known as tartrazine, is a vitamin B6 antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And the deficiencies of vitamin B6 can lead to a lot of problems for women. It can be problems with their menstrual period.
Of course.
And for men, it could be prostatitis. And, of course, there are many other things that neurological problems, particularly with vitamin B6. I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Just on one thing alone. And of course, this stuff is being gulped down. You see these colored candies, that are coated with these colors, brilliant reds and greens and blues and yellows.
Sodium benzotate and all types of different products in there
Speaking of chemicals, you just hit me with a thought. I caught Wendy Mesley's program that she did on cancer with Marketplace. Now, Wendy Mesley has been a long-time reporter and anchor with Canadian Broadcasting Corporation on television and radio. And she came down with breast cancer, and she wanted some answers. Well, one of the things they were looking at was formaldehyde in some detergents.
Of course.
And the Canadian Cancer Society, the chief person, was approached by Mendley, and they were going to look at it and do an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But formaldehyde is a known carcinogen.
Of course it is, yes.
What is it doing in vaccines?
Well, the reason I believe that they're taking these chemicals and involving them in vaccines and foods and preservatives and what have you is because, I mean, obviously the mass manufacturer, you know, they mass manufacture this product and they need a use for it. And they have contracts with these companies, you know, that are going to be using a certain amount of this product by little. It's all business. It all comes down to, you know, how much we're going to take and how much we're going to consume every year of this certain formaldehyde or any other type of product that's out there that's not compatible with the organic body. They don't really care about that. They just care about mass manufacturing it and having a use for it. So they will try to involve it in absolutely everything that they can involve it in, including our foods, the foods of our children, and also, like you said, vaccines. And once again, that derives the human body from being able to process its own organic, its own serum.
Well, the body has a tremendous capacity to heal itself
if it's
given the opportunity.
Of course.
But with these toxic drugs, you know, I'll name off five drugs.
Yes.
Like beta blockers, statin drugs, which lower cholesterol, a hydrochlorothiazide diuretic.
Yes.
Metformin, which is an anti-diabetic drug. And I must confess, it's escaped me. I think it's called Actonel or something, rather. It's an antipsychotic drug.
Yeah, I've heard
of
that.
Now, the question is, what do all these five drugs have in common? And believe it or not, it's not the four are that in common, three that in common are, of course, have to do with cardiovascular disease.
Yes.
One has to do with diabetes, which can also be a complication of cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, of course, is mental illness. But they all have one thing in common. I'm not going to mention it. I hope that somebody will do some research and come back to me with the answer. Because I've thrown that out, and I'm waiting to hear from an answer from, I won't go any further than that because I had a little bit of email crossing of swords, you might say, with an investigative journalist. But I'll leave it at that. And I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm just going to say this, that one of the reasons why we have the fastest growing, failing, but highly profitable healthcare system is the patentable drugs. That's all driven by that. And then some of the other interventions like surgery and radiotherapy are more or less the lesser problems of the whole situation. But thank you for the call. And we go to line two. You're on the air.
Yes, hello there.
Yes, I'll just remind people we have a line open at 604-684-7561. You're on Dynamic Health, sir. What's your question, or you want to make an issue?
Well, it's a little bit of a comment about your... I'm just trying to clarify what you were saying about HIV.
Yes.
That, from what I understand with HIV, it attacks the white blood cells, and what makes it so hard to deal with, and what makes it so... the reason we can't take... antivirus, like flu shots.
Well, I tell you, this is an assumption. I wonder how many of these reporters that report on the HIV AIDS paradigm have ever read the label of some of these anti-AIDS drugs. Have you?
No, not personally.
Well, and I think it would be a good idea if you did. I made a point of finding out. But you can also go to a very interesting website. If you type into the search engine, Google it, Orphans on Trial, you'll get a real revelation.
The reason I know this is because an old friend of mine, her uncle is the longest lived patient with HIV in Canada.
Yeah, and he might be on these anti-neoplastin drugs, and he can thank his lucky stars he's surviving. But just a minute.
If he were to go off it today and suddenly be cured of HIV, he'd die anyway.
That's what they say. Have you read? You read the label of AZT, for instance. First of all, there's a skull and crossbones on it.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it says, do not inhale, keep away from skin, store at 0 degrees Celsius,
mm-hmm.
almost said centigrade, so you know how old I am, and it says on the label that it is a bone marrow depressant. What happens when you suppress bone marrow? You are suppressing the immune system. And that, besides the thymus gland, this is where all your immune cells are coming from. So don't tell me about HIV suppressing. When they do an HIV test, and by the way, there's about five different test kits out there, and each manufacturer that holds a patent on it says in the literature, you know, that comes along with it, the InfoPak, that this is not a reliable test, and of course the manufacturers of the anti-neoplastin drugs like AZT and the notorious one, Nevirapine by Boehringer Ingelheim, they admit that these are not a cure for AIDS, and they have warnings about these drugs. Now,
I agree with you. Merely what I'm saying, though,
what
is that
I'm
when
saying
people
is
die
that these
of
drugs,
HIV
if you
and
have,
AIDS,
what I'm saying, if you are HIV positive, and you have no symptoms, and you go on these drugs. You have, I would say, probably an 85% chance of coming down with AIDS because of the nature of the drug itself. The other factors that I think make a person susceptible to AIDS is recreational drug use, bad nutrition, unsanitary practices and conditions, and of course, as I say, if you've got multiple infections, then you're going to be a candidate for these drugs. So if the drugs don't kill the infections before they kill you, well and good. But
Well, from what I understand, and this is having listened to my friend whose uncle has been living with this for over 15 years now, I think maybe 20 years, because HIV attacks the T cells, the body can't recognize something that's about to attack the body. So people who get to the point of where the T cell count is so low, they're now considered advanced immunodeficiency syndrome at that point. Then if they get a common cold, their body won't even recognize it. It won't even bother trying to fight it, and they die. So all these other drugs are essentially kind of like patchwork. And they're from what I understand, they're fully aware that these drugs are terrible for the body. They will kill the person eventually, but it's kind of choosing the lesser of two evils, in a sense. You can't. But the problem with trying to actually kill the HIV virus is that the virus mutates. That you can't just sort of take a dead part of the HIV virus, inject it, and build up a T cell.
First
count.
Of all, there is no virus. They have not. They have all they've ever come up with, by the way, is a artist's conception of what the virus might look like. They do not have so much as an electron photograph of an HIV/AIDS virus. They've got electron photographs of other viruses, but not this one. And they can say it can hide very well. But I would suggest to you that. One of the key things, especially in Africa, the problem there is famine and unsanitary conditions, overcrowding, and all of the things that can evolve out of it. And of course, if you have multiple infections, you will be classified as having AIDS. And interestingly enough, the work of Dr. Harold Foster, who you could say is a nutritional geographer, he's looked at the soil of nations across Africa, and where HIV/AIDS, so-called HIV/AIDS, is the highest. They have virtually no selenium in the soil. The diets are deficient in the amino acid glutathione or N-acetylcysteine. Also, he mentions, I believe, tryptophan and also some other nutritional factors that are very important for immune function. And selenium, by the way, is a known antiviral agent in its own right.
Well, it sounds to me that what you're describing is that the reason that the T cells drop so low is not because of a virus attacking the T cells, but some other influence.
Well, I would say the immune system is worn out with these multiple infections that some of these people can develop. But you know, but there's another thing that really gets me is this. Before I let you go,
I actually do have one more comment about carcinogens.
Yes, go ahead.
But I want to hear what you were going to say there.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I see these ads on TV and in magazines, you know, that, what, say 17,000 Canadians are HIV positive and they don't know it.
Mm.
Well, how would they know it if they haven't been tested?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, how would the person that came up with that slogan know it himself? You know, you can't know these things unless there are testing. And by the way, you can't tell me that the 54 million people that are supposed to be HIV positive in Africa have been tested. I don't think they've got those kind of facilities to do that kind of testing. It's pure speculation.
Interesting.
And here's the other thing. Somebody like myself who dares to dispute the HIV AIDS hypothesis, and that could probably include you. There are those who would accuse me of actually practicing genocide or advocating a genocide, and therefore I should be put in jail, and my constitutional rights of freedom of speech should be taken away from me. And that's coming from a university professor at McGill, who happens to be the chairs in AIDS. Position at McGill, and he's chairman of the HIV/AIDS International Conference is coming up in Ontario, in Toronto, this August. Now, what kind of a scientist is that? I mean, those kind of scientists were the ones that were actually pillaring people like Galileo and Copernicus for their radical ideas about the universe.
Interesting. Well, I'll have to, as far as the HIV issue here, I'll have to disagree with you. I mean, I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise, but I still believe there is an HIV
virus.
Well,
do yourself a favor.
But I would like to do more research on it, and I will look into the photographs.
Yeah, and yes, definitely. Orphans on Trial, it's quite a revelation.
Oh, I'll definitely read that.
Because these babies, and I'll just say it briefly, these babies were perfectly healthy until they were put on the drugs, and they got terribly sick. And some of the pictures are horrific. You'll see them in living color.
Oh, I'll definitely read that. I'm seeing my research.
But get this.
When I can.
Get this.
There is. Yeah.
When the parents who still had custody of these children mm-hmm. and had them at home and took them, didn't give them the drugs, the babies got well. They were fine. Mm-hmm. And the doctors knew that they were no longer on the drugs, and they were taken away from the parents using the social services, you know, the deputy sheriff and the cops and the social worker at the door, seizing the baby, taking it back and putting it and forcing these drugs, not only, but they're doing it IV or through a stomach tube. Unbelievable. And of course, they killed them off.
Oh.
And this is one of the biggest scandals. It's about two or three years old now. Orphans on Trial. You've got to Google it and read it.
I do know there are some people who are resistant to HIV.
Yeah,
and there have been at least eight or nine documented cases.
Some people have a stronger constitution. They can do anything they like, and they survive, and some of them live well into their 90s.
There are other people that can't do sweet basal,
and they're dead at 30. Anyway, sir...
But with the carcinogens, this is one thing that I've been wanting to actually get this out.
You wanted to make a point on that. Go ahead.
I remember that here in Canada, when we switched from leaded gas to a non-leaded form to reduce the visual pollutants in the atmosphere, that somebody turned to me, and he was a guy who understands chemicals very well, and he said, oh, yeah, you're going to see a rise of cancer rates over the next 10 years. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, because the process for turning gas into what it is needs lead at some point. So instead of using lead, they're going to do something else that right now is listed as a known carcinogen. I don't remember what the chemical is, but he said, watch the cancer rates over the next 10 years.
How about MMT? But the good news about MMT is that Chevron, now Shell, that's the only two companies right now that have taken it out of their gasolines.
Mm. What are they using instead?
Well, that's a good question, but they're not using MMT. Both the major automobile manufacturers, General Motors and Chrysler and Toyota and Mercedes, they said they recommend that, in fact, if you look at an owner's manual of these cars of recent models, even as long ago as 1996 and 2001, it's the last time I looked at a Chrysler owner's manual, and they said not to use gasolines that have MMT in them.
How interesting.
And
that's the carcinogen that they're referring to?
Yes, MMT is apparently is a carcinogen. And, of course, the problem with lead is it does neurological damage. And there's a whole story on that. We might talk about that in a future program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. And we go to the next line. Line one, you're on the air.
Hello, Kraft. The AIDS cocktail, most of those chemicals were actually tried as chemo agents in cancer, and they were abandoned because they were so lethally.
Yes, are you there? Hello? Hold on, I think we've lost you. We'll get back to you. Hello, are you there? Hi, are you there?
Oh, hello, Kraft.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep. Unfortunately, we had a little bit of foul up on the phone board. Go ahead, please. Yep.
The most of the concoction that we used for AIDS was actually tried as chemo agents for cancer, and they abandoned their use for cancer because they were so lethally toxic.
That's true.
And so, therefore, if it's too toxic for short-term cancer therapy, then how come it's okay for long-term AIDS therapy? And when it comes to this engineering of diseases, I was listening to Oprah Winfrey's show with Dr. Osterholm from the CDC, and he dropped a little comment that gave a lot away. He was, of course, talking about the bird flu, and it was not if, but when, etc., and the catastrophe. And then he said something that really caught my attention. He said, you know, it isn't the virus that kills you. It's that this particular virus gets the immune system to overactivate, and it won't shut itself off again. Now, this tells me that this is not a natural virus. This is coming out of the University of Wisconsin, and this is the 1,000-time potentized, genetically engineered whatever it is.
Well, the way I look at it is this. All mammals get fevers. It's the mammal's way of getting rid of viral infections, because fevers of in excess of 101 degrees Fahrenheit Viruses cannot replicate.
Well, the
and most of the people who've died as a result of a so-called viral infection died because the physicians were attempting to suppress the fever with antipyretic, that is, anti-fever drugs. Whether it was aspirin or whether it was Tylenol or whether it was something like Tamiflu, which is one of the latest anti-viral drugs on the market.
And a useless one.
Yeah, absolutely, but very profitable. And I thought it was very interesting because it's been about 10 days ago or more that there was a conference going on in Victoria of medical health officers, presumably from across Canada, and we heard our own local Arlene King of the Fraser Valley or the Centers for Disease Control going on about this big flu pandemic that's coming down because of the bird population, this particular wild bird flu virus, and on and on and on. And then this retired public health officer comes on and says that the hype about this thing is just beyond belief, that to the point it's actually verging on fraud.
It is absolute fraud. But the point that I was trying to make, Croft, is that they're basically, the public is buying into the virus, right?
Yeah, but just a minute.
What they're not buying into is that what they are doing genetically has nothing to do with virus, but that they are trying to find ways to disrupt the way the immune system works. And that is criminal, and this is what people have to realize.
Well, so far it doesn't seem to be working.
It's not that easy, because we're pretty resilient.
However, just a minute.
The fact that they're attacking the immune system, and they're not doing it through a virus.
Well, this is why
you won't find an AIDS virus.
Well, I mean, they use viruses to vector the genetic engineering, you know, and they use some very, very nasty ones to create pesticide resistant.
I don't know if you have followed
but,
Boyd.
Just a minute, I'm not finished here. The point that I want to make is that look at SARS. That was a big thing over 3 years ago now, isn't it?
Well, they tried and it didn't work.
It's because the doctors who knew how to deal with a fever were able to deal with it.
Exactly.
And of course, the thing is that the trouble is that so many doctors know so little about viruses anyways. First of all, bird viruses, it's virtually impossible for them to jump to humans unless it's in a vaccine that's been incubated in bird's egg or chick embryo. Got it?
I don't know if you have followed Boyd Graves and his AIDS exposure.
Yes.
But he, in one of his articles, I don't know if you picked it up, the U.S. government has a patented cure for AIDS, and when he described it, it is the Koch therapy. In other words, they have a cure, a way of stimulating the immune system, and they have it patented. They simply won't use it except for themselves if they get caught in this depopulation.
Well, there are people who are HIV positive and were given the drugs and they couldn't stand it. They got off the drugs, but they also cleaned up their lifestyle and their diet and became HIV negative and very healthy.
It's got nothing to do with the virus. What it has to do with doing things that break down the immune system genetically or what, however.
Yeah, but I'm talking about people who were perfectly perfectly well, but they were HIV positive, so therefore they had to be given these drugs. They got off the drugs when they got sick because they couldn't stand it, and when they became well again and they stuck to a good lifestyle and diet, they were fine. But, and still maybe HIV positive. Some people actually HIV negative. But, the whole thing is a big sham and a scandal as far as I'm concerned.
It's a crime of the century, but what I'm trying, what you're basically saying is it's only nutrition and a decent lifestyle that helps to stimulate the immune system.
You got it. That's it exactly, in a nutshell. And speaking of nuts, I understand that hazelnuts are one of the best form of nuts that you can grind up and add to your cereal in the morning. Well, there's a tip for you. You are listening to CFRO FM at 102.7 on the FM band. It is coming up to 27 minutes to 2 o'clock, and you are listening to Dynamic Health, and the lines are open. I think we lost a call or two. 604-684-4. 1-800-324-7561 is the number to call. I invite your participation. It's open line. We're talking about viruses. We're talking about AIDS. We're talking about chemotherapy and one thing and another. But we'll get to your calls in just a moment. One of the things I mentioned at the outset was this item that it was published in Harper's Magazine on March 2006 edition, and the title of the item is Out of Control, AIDS and the Corruption of Medical Science, and it's a real horror story. And one of the callers previous, I mentioned Orphans on Trial. You can Google search that. You've got to see it. You'll get an idea of what's going on. And all I can say is that medical science is out of control. It's totally corrupt when this sort of thing is allowed to go on. And let's go to line one. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to add, in terms of websites, a good one for people to get information regarding AIDS and all of the, you know, the fabrications or the controversy around the official hypothesis is the other side of, aliveandwell.org, aliveandwell.org. They put out an excellent documentary, The Other Side of AIDS, and it profiles a woman, the producer basically, who was diagnosed as, quote, HIV positive many, many years ago, and is alive and well and didn't do the anti-retro drugs and all of that. They also produce a pamphlet that shows that there are 60 different possible reasons that you could test false positive for HIV false positive, including flu shot, Hep B shot, and other pregnancy, all sorts of things. So it's important for anyone who knows anyone who's been, quote, tested HIV positive, that they're aware that there's all sorts of things that can lead to that so-called result. And the last thing I just wanted to mention, and I heard this through somebody else, I don't know if any of your listeners or you know anything about it, but it's very interesting regarding West Nile, since we're talking about, you know, genetic engineering and diseases just happening to come along, and we know that people and corporations profit from this kind of mayhem, that West Nile apparently came along coincidentally just as there was an effort to, I think, ban DEET. And I don't know, I heard that from someone and she had some information. I've misplaced it, but I thought that was just interesting to put out there. I don't think it's a coincidence that these things just happen, whether it's SARS, West Nile, or anything else, to limit the population or get them in line and scare them and control them.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you. And what I find interesting about West Nile virus is the fact that the Centers for Disease Control admitted under questioning at a Senate committee, Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia questioned the CDC officials, and they admitted that during the first Gulf War, or even prior to the first Gulf War, this would be in the time of Ronald Reagan, when he sent Rumsfeld over to Baghdad to get cozy with Saddam Hussein, that they had supplied the Iraqi government with strains of West Nile virus. So how come it shows up in the United States and we don't hear anything about West Nile virus over in the Middle East? Very interesting situation. But anyways, let's go on to the next caller. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Line two.
Yeah, I just wanted to call because I think that no matter how passionate you are about an issue, that if there's somebody whose views you don't agree with, you should not use the word retard.
I don't use it. Just a minute.
I just heard you say that.
Oh, no, you didn't. I never use the I never use ad hominem attack. I don't use the word retard. And so somebody trying to get a rise out of me, I guess, that... And I will gladly review the CD that we make of these programs. The line is open at 604-684-7561. And I thought it was very interesting that that caller didn't have the courage to stay on the line and actually apologize for making a false accusation. But, you can sit behind the anonymity of a telephone call, but that's your problem and you're stuck with it. Go ahead, on there.
I'm sorry I missed the last caller. I don't know what you're referring to, though, I could guess. My understanding of the topic, though, that is that AIDS is, if your immune system is down in your HIV, which usually takes 15 years before you run yourself into the ground like that, that AIDS is one of 23 diseases if you die from, then you classify as AIDS.
I think you may have a point there. I can't say that I disagree with you.
And what do you think is the biggest cause of one's immune system problem?
Well, I think, for one thing, that it has a lot to do with our environment and our diet and lifestyle. If we do things that are harmful for the liver, that is the major organ of detoxification. That can put us in a serious problem. For instance, look at Tylenol, acetaminophen. This is considered to be the safest analgesic that you can use. And information from the United States is that something like 53,000 or better people entered hospital with liver failure. Several hundred deaths, and I assume a few liver transplants as well. And in fact, according to lawyers who are taking up litigation on the behalf of people that have been suffered damage from using Tylenol, that in fact over 100,000 hospital admissions or reports to poison control centers regarding acetaminophen poisoning. So this is a analgesic that is not so safe as it is being extolled to be. That, in fact, is quite dangerous. Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that even if you eat well and have a lifestyle that does have recreational drugs, that and your nutrition is something that your body is not absorbing, you can end up being sick no matter what you eat and how hard you try.
Well, that's true, because there can be mental stresses that will affect your ability to digest and absorb or assimilate and utilize your food. You know, you have psychosomatic or somatopsychic disease. In other words, your diet can affect your brain, but your brain can also affect your diet. Addictions is a good example. And so the thing is that it really is incumbent upon us to know that the soil is only as good as it's fed. And if we don't feed the soil right, whether it has anything to do with agriculture or whether it has anything to do with nurturing your own body, we're going to pay consequences.
Yes, very true, very true.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. And we go on to the next caller. Go ahead. No, I guess we've got lines open at 604-684-7561 if you'd like to get on the line and take issue with me. But don't make any false accusations about me indulging in ad hominem attack and referring to the medical profession as retards. I don't use that word when I'm on the air, and I rarely use it privately. So I think that caller, not very polite, not very diplomatic. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Kraft. How are you today?
Well, I'm getting well, fine, and has one rather, I would say, very blunt, open line. A host was heard to say, "Get on with it," but I say it in the most polite of terms. I want to hear from you. What have you got to say?
Well, I was wondering how you deal with a very common problem, hemorrhoids.
Okay. Well, hemorrhoids is, as you could say, is like a form of varicose veins, and you can have external hemorrhoids and. And then there's the internal ones. And if you are having problems with regularity in terms of bowel movements, constipation can certainly bring about hemorrhoids or certainly aggravate them. To me, I think it's very important that those blood vessels, of course, why are they popping out like that? I think it has a lot to do with the fact that maybe you need more vitamin C in your diet, and the nutritional factors like the bioflavonoids and the proanthocyanidines that you find in blackberries, blueberries, huckleberries, cranberries, and other red and purple fruit. These strengthen the walls of blood vessels and capillaries so that they don't break and they don't bleed. And, of course, they're synergistic with vitamin C in this regard. Other factors that I've known people to use to help with their hemorrhoids is to take things like lecithin. And one of my favorite authors of the medical letter, of a medical letter, is Julian Whitaker. And he says if you want to get the best out of lecithin, you should take about 7 grams a day. Well, that's a good tablespoon of lecithin, or else you take about 6 of those 1,200 milligram lecithin capsules, and they have been shown to be very good for helping people to get over to overcome problems with things like blood pressure and hemorrhoids, and also varicose veins.
Well, it's interesting because I do have a fairly substantial diet in regards to fruit and vegetables and things like that. I'm still waiting for the berries to become available from BC here, and I have a largely organic diet as well, and I also supplement my vitamin C levels with my naturopath about once a month.
Still having problems with hemorrhoids then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of all that.
How regular are you?
Well, I'm pretty regular, like, you know, two to three times.
A day?
Yeah.
Well,
chocolate.
Pardon?
Chocolate.
Oh, somebody was in the background suggesting chocolate.
Oh. Chocolate? Would that help?
Is that the color of the stool, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, and but he's suggesting that eating chocolate itself is an aggravating thing for for hemorrhoids. It may very well be. I have to look into that. But certainly, when it comes to elimination or defecation, it is important that the stool comes away in fairly large but soft, round tube-like stool, and it comes away very quickly, and there's a minimum of mess to clean up. And of course, if there is, then I think you might be lacking in vitamin A.
Oh, okay, yeah, because my stool actually went through a bit of a problem there with where it was breaking up and whatnot, but I managed to deal with that. But it's been a very, very healthy stool, hardly any mess to clean up.
Well, vitamin A is very important for a healthy epithelial tissue, which, of course, which lines all the internal channels of the body.
Should I take that in
Well, if you're getting, you might be getting a lot of beta carotene, which is the precursor to vitamin A, as we know it, that we find in liver and fish liver oils. Your liver synthesizes that into that form of vitamin A, which is important for the health of these cells. But if you're not getting enough zinc and vitamin B6 in the diet, that could be part of the problem as well.
Oh, okay. So I should eat more fish and...
Well, not necessarily. Cod liver oil, or better still, halibut liver oil, a preformed form of vitamin A.
Okay.
If you are not a vegetarian, you could have a serving of a baby or beef liver, maybe about 3.5 ounces once or twice a week if that's your thing. One of my animal rights people right now is cringing into the floor.
Yeah.
But 3.5 ounces of fried beef liver will give you somewhere around 40,000 international units of preformed vitamin A, the same form of vitamin A you would get if you took cod liver oil or halibut liver oil.
Oh, okay.
So that's one way you can do that. And of course, the liver does give you bonuses of B vitamins and minerals as well that are important.
Yeah.
And by the way, they've done tests on liver and found that it was free of all the horrible things that people were thought that would be in there, because liver is the major organ of detoxification.
Yeah,
but it's a rich source of glutathione, which is something that your own liver needs to metabolize cholesterol and get rid of it and turn it into bile so that you can enhance your fat digestion absorption and go on and on.
So I could just buy some beef liver.
Yeah.
And that would help.
Yeah, liver and onions.
I eat onions almost every day.
Well, it goes well with the braised or fried beef liver.
Huh, interesting. One last thing, though.
And by the way, I never eat the stuff. However, if it works for you, you try it.
Would it matter if it's from Like an organically raised cow, or
probably all the better.
Yeah, well, obviously,
the liver is always under stress when you have to deal with toxins.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Croft.
My pleasure. And line two, you're on the air.
Yes, I was actually just trying to suggest to the gentleman that just hung up. I have a similar problem with hemorrhoids, and I was told that it could be because I have scoliosis, because it affects my diaphragm, and because I'm kind of out of alignment, that can actually put pressure on the diaphragm, which affects the veins as far down into your anus. So he may want to get that checked out, that it could be a structural problem.
Yeah, a chiropractor, an osteopath could possibly correct that.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say, because
yeah,
I know how
way.
He feels, and I thought I would just want to get through to have, you know, to
right,
see if
but,
he's
but
kind
don't
of looked
go
at
away.
That.
Tell us about scoliosis.
Oh, it's just curvature in the spine. Some people have it from birth, or some people get it from injury. I got it from, I used to be a nurse, and from lifting patients and
right.
having too many patients to kind of put my back out of whack. And I haven't quite healed it. I've been to different therapies, but I haven't quite gotten it healed yet. It's getting a little bit better. But
you have access to the internet?
Yep.
Punch in Vitamin D Council. You'll find a lot of valuable information about vitamin D and bones and how important. We're not getting enough vitamin D.
Okay.
And, of course, we hear from the news that rickets is making appearances in various parts of the country. And of course, rickets is vitamin D deficiency. And vitamin D does play a very important role in regulating our immune system, surprisingly, as well as our bone health. And also for people who are susceptible to allergies, could do better with more vitamin D, either in their diet or as a supplement, or certainly sun exposure. And by the way, don't be scared off by vitamin D toxicity. Vitamin D3 is not toxic. That's the form of vitamin D that you can buy in most health food stores and some pharmacies. And you can, of course, make your own vitamin D3 by 10 minutes of exposure to the sun without sunscreen, without bathing beforehand, and then wait about 6 or 7 hours after you've sunbathed before you shower. That way you don't lose what you've made. And you can make in 10 minutes 20,000 international units of vitamin D on your skin with relatively full body exposure to the sun for 10 minutes.
Wow.
And it tells me that that's probably the amount of vitamin D you need. And they show the body actually synthesize a lot more, but it deteriorates. The body only uses what it needs. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for the call. And you are listening to CFRO-FM at 102.7 on the FM band. It is co-op radio here in Vancouver. And if you like this kind of programming, give your support to the station, because it is a co-op, and it's listener supported, and we depend on your support to keep programming going. Well, let's go to the next line. You're on the air now. Go ahead. That's you. Line one. Oh, we've lost somebody. They've hung up. Hello. On the air. Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Croft. I appreciate your program, and I listen to it all the time. I'm a cabbie, and I drive around, so I find a lot of stuff interesting. Can I ask you a question? Do you have any medical degrees or health certifications or anything like that?
I have no medical degrees. I basically have, I'm a high school graduate with some senior matric.
Yes.
You can say that that's like being half pregnant, but the thing is that I've been in this business of looking into nutrition and healing for over 35 years. I've attended different seminars and conferences put on by prominent physicians, medical doctors, and biochemists. And of course, by following their information and advice, this is what I've accumulated, and I still subscribe to medical letters to get this kind of information so I can pass it on. And
yeah.
I think it's very important. No, I'm not a doctor, and I don't profess to be.
No, I've heard you say that before. I was just wondering whether you had any. And unfortunately, that works against you in this society, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. Because
you know?
Of what we call the degree worshippers that I have found some politicians, not all, but some, to be very bad in this regard. If you don't have a degree, they won't listen to you. And unfortunately, that's one reason why our healthcare system is on the rocks, as I say at the outset, the fastest growing failing business in the country.
That's what it is. That's absolutely, again, it's all about the money. It's all greed. Can I ask you what you said about hazelnuts? I didn't quite get the answer.
You have about, it's considered that if you eat about 20 hazelnuts a day, that is actually a very complete package of protein, vitamins, minerals, and fatty acids.
Because I heard almonds are also very good. What are almonds good for, fresh almonds?
Well, they're rich in protein, again, vitamins and minerals, and they have beneficial fatty acids as well.
Awesome.
And why not mix the two and come up with an interesting combination? One of my favorite tricks is to put some oatmeal to soak overnight, and I throw in, as I say, about 20 hazelnuts to soak along with it. Sometimes I'll throw in some seedless raisins and just let it soak overnight. And then when I get up in the morning, I turn the heat on under it for low and leave it for about half an hour or so.
And it's probably delicious.
And it works out quite well. And I put either a little bit of little honey and cream or maple syrup. Yes.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Kevin Trudeau?
Yes, he has a book. What is
the
it called?
The Cure They Don't Want You to Know About. Have you read through that?
I've got a copy of it. I haven't gone through it, but I'm quite familiar
with
some.
Some people say he's a shamster and all the rest of it.
He had a couple of convictions for fraud when he was a younger man, and they dragged that up to use against him. But the bottom line is, it's quite a commentary on freedom of speech in North America, because he was running these infomercials for different companies and health professionals that were promoting products for better health and nutrition, and the Federal Trade Commission, on the complaint of some quackbusters, shut him down. Well, of course, they got into issues of freedom of speech, and so the best thing he could do is write a book and promote it, and they can't do a thing about it, and that was probably the best thing they could have done for him, was to try and shut him down and shut him up, because now it's a true freedom of speech issue. The book is out there, and there's a lot to that book from what I've read. I can tell you about 714X by Gaston Naissons, a Frenchman living in Quebec. He's a microbiologist and a herbalist, and he developed a product that was good for treating cancer. Well, there's a fellow by the name of Charles Pixley in the United States who was telling people about this Gaston Naissons in Quebec, and guess what? He was thrown in jail because he was, although indirectly, promoting a certain cure for cancer. So there it is, freedom of speech.
They don't want a cure for cancer. If they cure cancer, they're out of business.
There'd be a lot of people out. You got that right. I won't disagree with you on that.
Croft, we're on the same wavelength, and I'm about your age and a little bit healthier probably. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, phone the store and let me know what your cab number is. 324-2121, okay?
Because if I need a taxi, 2121?
Yeah, if I need a taxi, and then I'll know who to call, okay?
I'm in Surrey,
I'm in Surrey too.
Much service to you.
We're running out of time, but I got to tell you this. I saw the Courier last week and their ad or their cartoon about a fellow who's saying we need to escape the Earth to save the species. We've got to get out to outer space. And this woman from Surrey, she says, leave Earth. She says, I've been trying to get the hell out of Newton for the last 3 years. That's a good one. I loved it.
Thanks a lot, Croft.
Okay, have a good one. And to everybody else, thank you for listening. We'll be back this week, this time next week at 1 o'clock with more on Healthy Living. Have a good afternoon.